Let us remain standing. Praise God.
Can we turn to the Bible, to the Word of God? Let's turn to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 13. For those who have your Bibles, let's turn to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 13. We are going to read a few verses, verse number 6 to verse number 9. Luke, chapter 13, verse number 6 to verse number 9. We have been going through the series called Seven Attributes of a Healthy Church. And today we are on attribute number 5, which is healthy churches grow and reproduce. Healthy churches grow and reproduce. We are going to read Luke chapter 13, verses 6 to 9. I am going to read from the New King James Version Bible. Please follow with whichever version and language of Bible that you have. These are the words of Jesus. He also spoke this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. Then he said to the keeper of his vineyard, "Look, for 3 years I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why does it use up the ground?" And he answered and said to him, "Sir, let it alone this year also, until I dig around it and fertilize it. And it bears fruit well. If not, after that you can cut it down." Let's close our eyes for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. Lord, thank you that we could sing songs of glory and praise to you. Above all, Father, Lord, you are the one who helps us to bear fruit, and you are the one who helps us to grow. I pray that this morning as we hear the word of God, that it may really, Lord, touch our hearts and our minds, O Father, that we may hear your word and we may be blessed. We thank you for everything. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Please be seated in God's presence. Before I start speaking anything, I want to ask a very simple question to everybody. Sometimes I'm a little fearful when I ask Indians questions, because Indians are very smart and they know all the answers. Even with the first word, you may know the answer. But let me ask a question. And before that, I'm reminded of a small light joke that I read the other day. I shared with our group when we were returning back from Israel, and I felt very funny about that joke. So I want to just make sure that you're all not sleeping this morning. There was an Indian who was flying on an aeroplane with Albert Einstein sitting next to him. It was a long flight. So they struck up a conversation, and Einstein said, "You know what, we have a long journey ahead. We are going to sit on this plane. Let's have a friendly competition between the two of us. The competition is that each of us can ask each other a question. You ask a question and I will answer. I will ask a question and you answer." The Indian guy said, "Okay, very good, I'm ready." And Einstein felt that, you know, he's much more wise and he has a lot of knowledge. He said, "This is the stake. For every question that I ask you, you don't answer, you pay me $5. Every question that you ask me, I don't answer, I will pay you $500. So the Indian guy was so happy. He said, "Wow, that's a wonderful. I'm ready. So ask me what's your first question and I will see if I know the answer." So Einstein looked and thought about his knowledge. And then he asked, "How far is the moon from the earth?" So the Indian guy sat there. He scratched his head. He did not have his phone to do a Google search. Didn't get a chance there. In the plane, you know, there is no Wi-Fi, so he could not do that. Otherwise, he would have done that very quickly. He did not do that, so he scratched his head. He said, "I don't know." And quietly, he took out his wallet and he gave him $5. Then he said, the Einstein said to the Indian guy, "Now it's your turn. You ask me a question." So the Indian guy told Einstein, "What goes up a hill on 3 legs and comes down with 4 legs? So Einstein was perplexed. All of a sudden, Something that goes up a hill on 3 and comes back on 4. He thought for a while and finally he said, you know, I have a lot of knowledge, but I don't have the answer for that. And so he took out his wallet and he gave him how many? $500 to the Indian guy. He said, okay, my next question is, I wanted to ask you another question, but I'm not going to ask you. This is my question to you. What is the answer for your question? What is it that goes up a hill on 3 legs, comes back on 4? So very smartly, the Indian guy took out his wallet and gave him $5. Because the question he didn't know answer. So I thought that was very funny. Thank you. Thank you for sharing a laugh with me. So my question to all of you is that, what does an apple tree produce? Apples, right? That is the normal answer I was expecting. Thank you for answering it according to my expectation. It's a simple question. But in truth, the answer is not that simple. An apple tree does not only produce apples, but it produces apple trees as well. And I will explain to you. When an apple tree produces apples, the seeds that are in an apple, they will in turn produce apple trees. That in turn will produce apples. That in turn will produce apple trees. So when you ask a question, what does an apple tree produce? It does not only produces apples, it also produces apple trees. This is a picture of a good, healthy church where you not only produce a fruit, but from within the fruit, that fruit will replicate and produce other fruit. Some years ago in China, the farmers were growing potatoes and they thought about something. They said, you know what, we are growing potatoes here. We will use the big potatoes, the good potatoes, we will eat it, and we will use the other smaller potatoes to get the seed for the next potato harvest. So they took all the good potatoes and they started eating, and they took the small potatoes for more harvest, for the small ones he used for more harvest. Very soon what they discovered was that the potatoes that were growing after, they all started shrinking in size. To an extent that the potatoes became as small as pebbles. Small potatoes. And they realized that the law of life has reduced what we put in, that is what is coming out. If you put in small potatoes, it will only give you small potatoes. It's not going to give you the big potatoes that you are looking for. You know, this is the harvest, the law of the harvest. You put in the seed, it will give you a harvest. In your life, you have many chances to sow seeds. And whatever seeds that you sow, that is what is going to produce the harvest in your life. Healthy churches will grow. Not only healthy churches will grow, healthy churches will reproduce. In the Acts of the Apostles, when you turn to the book of Acts from chapter 1, we see how healthy churches were growing and they were reproducing. They were growing and they were reproducing. If you look at Acts, every page of the book of Acts, if you start from chapter 2, you see either an addition or a multiplication. Acts chapter 2 verse 47, at the end of the verse 47, we see an addition. The Lord added to the church daily those that were being saved. When we come to chapter 6, Acts chapter 6 and verse number 7, we see that there was a multiplication. The word of the Lord spread. The number of disciples multiplied greatly. There was a multiplication happening there. When we come to Acts chapter 9 and verse number 31, we see again here that there was the churches throughout all Judea and Samaria. It says that they were multiplied. The churches started multiplying. The people started multiplying. And when we come to Acts chapter 11 and verses 19 onwards, we see something very profound. You know, the disciples, they were scattered from Jerusalem. The lay people, they went to all places, to Phoenicia, to Cyprus, to Antioch. They were scattered from Jerusalem. They went to all the places. You know, Phoenicia is north of Jerusalem. Cyprus is to the west of Jerusalem. Antioch is to the east of Jerusalem. And the disciples, wherever they went, we see in the verses down, they preached about Jesus Christ. And it says in verse number 21, the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. You see a process of multiplication in the first century churches. They were immensely multiplying. Come to chapter 12 and verse number 24. You see again that they were multiplying. It says the word of the Lord grew and multiplied. It was keeping on multiplying. When we come to Acts chapter 16 and verse number 5, I'm giving a lot of different verses for you. But I'm just telling you, the churches were strengthened in faith and increased in number daily. So the whole point that I want to speak to you this morning is that healthy churches will grow and multiply. That is a sign of the healthy churches. By the time the book of Acts closed, there were so many churches established all over the world, just like the way Jesus wanted, that you will be witnesses of me in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the world. They went to the uttermost parts of the known world of the first century. And they preached the word of God. And a lot of people came to the Lord. And many churches were established. And that was a sign of a church that was healthy. Even today, we are being called to grow, reproduce, and make disciples. And I want to drive off this point to you this morning. When we come to the passage that we read in the book of, in the Gospel of Luke, let me tell you, Jesus spoke many parables. This parable is found only in the Gospel of Luke. You don't find it in any other parable. So Dr. Luke was writing this parable, and this was something very profound, where he speaks about a man, a certain man, speaks about a certain man who did something very strange. When I was reading this, I was little amazed. It says he planted what? He planted a fig tree. Where did he plant a fig tree? In a vineyard. The question that you should ask yourself is, why should a fig tree be planted in a vineyard? Vineyard is a place where you plant vines for growing grapes. Why are you planting a fig tree in a vineyard? The first question that should come. You know, if you look at the Bible and understand the fig tree, in the Old Testament, a fig tree stands for Israel. Micah chapter 7 verse 1 speaks about that. And this is a fig tree where Jesus expects fruit from the tree. One time when Jesus was walking past and he saw a fig tree on the side of the road, Matthew chapter 21 verses 18 to 21, he went to a fig tree. It was by the side of the road. It was saying that if you, can you please turn with me to that portion, your Bibles, Matthew chapter 21 and verses 18 onwards. It says that, that in the morning, Jesus was hungry as he was returning to the city. And seeing a fig tree by the road, he came to it. So there was a beautiful fig tree standing by the road. Jesus expected to find some figs because he was hungry. He said he found nothing but leaves. And he said, let no fruit grow on you ever again. And it says immediately the fig tree withered away. The Lord came to that fig tree expecting a fruit. There was no fruit, but there was a lot of leaves. It is standing by the side of the road. Out on the outside, it looks like a healthy fig tree. But there was no fruit that was coming from the tree. This morning, I want to tell you, each and every one of us, when the Lord has planted a fig tree in a vineyard, He's expecting fruit from it. There are many, many different examples in the Bible that we read about God is looking for fruit from his vineyard. Matthew chapter 20 verses 1 to 15, chapter 21 verses 28 to 32, 33 to 46, John chapter 15 verse 1 to 11. We see that God is looking for fruit. He plants a tree for a reason. He plans to pluck fruit from the tree. But unfortunately, Jesus did not find any fruit in that tree. When John the Baptist started his ministry, one of the things he spoke about was that the axe is laid on the root of the tree. It will be cut down if you are not going to be producing fruit. So, let me interpret the parable for you. God had planted a fig tree, that is Israel, in his vineyard, which stands for the world. And being a fruit-bearing season, God is looking for fruit. Here it says that the man who planted the fig tree in the vineyard, he comes to the time when the fig tree should be producing fruit. But he says that he did not find a single fruit on a tree. So he tells to the keeper of the vineyard, For 3 years I have come looking for fruit from the fig tree and I have not found anything. And then he tells to the keeper of the vineyard, cut it down. Why does it use up the ground? Very simple. If something is of no use to God, he says, the keeper says, it is wasting of the soil. It's wasting of the resources. Let me cut down the tree. There is no use for the tree to stand without producing fruit. You know, the 3 years that we see here is actually the time for figs to grow. If a fig tree does not produce fruit for 3 years, it means that the tree is never going to produce fruit. And that is what was meant. So, it is a 3 year time that was given for the fig tree to produce fruit. But because it was not being fruitful, the keeper said, let's cut it down. But what happens? The vine dresser signifies Jesus. The keeper represents God. And the tree that God has planted represents each and every one of us. What is Jesus saying? He is interceding on behalf of the tree. That he says, let me, for one more year, let me dig around it and fertilize it. If it bears fruit, it is good. If it's not, then you can cut it down. You know what? Let me tell you what Jesus is doing today. I don't know if you realize, after he went to heaven, he is at the right hand of God the Father. He is every day interceding on our behalf. We have an advocate in heaven, Jesus, seated at God's right hand. Every day he is interceding for us. Every time we don't do it, Jesus is praying to God, Father, forgive them. Let me give them one more chance. Let me speak to them again. Let me see if they can turn back and bear fruit for you. And this morning I want the word of God to come into your heart for you to understand that God wants us to bear fruit. This parable was actually speaking about Israel, because the 3 years, the time Jesus preached in Israel, there was no fruit that was born. And so God allowed that Jerusalem to be broken down. We know that in AD 70, the Jerusalem and the temple of God was broken down. God broke down the temple because it was not producing fruit the way that God wanted for it. It was a failure of Israel to bear the fruit. But the lesson is that today we are like the tree that should bear the fruit for the Lord. God expects fruit from our lives. When we don't produce fruit, there is a danger. The danger is that we look good, we look like a healthy tree, but there is no good for God and there is no good for anybody. Hallelujah. Can you lift up your hands and praise the Lord? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for planting us in a vineyard. We were not supposed to be planted in a vineyard, but we are being planted in the vineyard of the Lord. And what did Jesus say? Can you all turn with me to John's Gospel? Chapter 15. John chapter 15. And verse number 16. The very famous verse that Jesus said, you did not choose me, but I chose you and I appointed you. Jesus is saying to each one of us, you did not choose me. I chose you. I appointed you. Why? Why did I appoint you? Why did I call you out? Why did I make you my child? Because you should go and bear fruit. The only one reason that God has called us is that we should be fruitful. We should bear fruit in the kingdom of God. And not only that we should bear fruit, our fruit should remain. The fruit that remains is the fruit that continues to move forward. Just like I said, the seeds of an apple. You know, you can count the number of seeds of an apple, but you can never count how many apples will be produced from one apple tree. Because it will keep on replicating and multiplying. You should go, you should multiply, and you should produce fruit. And this is what we hear from God's word today. We should go out, we should bear fruit. The fruit that God expects from us is the fruit of souls. We will speak the gospel to them. They will come to the Lord. God has given us a great mandate. Go and be a witness of the gospel. Speak about Jesus. Just like the disciples did. They went and spoke about Jesus. And many turned to the Lord. This is what God is expecting from us. Romans 11:22 says, therefore consider the goodness and severity of God. On those who fell, severity, but toward you, goodness. If you continue in His goodness, otherwise you will also be cut off. You know, the kingdom of Israel is a good example for us to think about. More than 600,000 people started on a journey to the promised land. But only two people entered it. Let's not assume that because we are showing ourselves as a child of God, God is pleased with us. I want us these days to think about our life and how are we bearing fruit for the Lord. God wants us to bear fruit. John the Baptist, he speaks that now the axe is laid at the root of the tree. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown to the fire. This morning, I want us to ask ourselves this question. Am I bearing fruit or am I living on a borrowed time? Jesus said, give the chance for the tree for one more year. Give it one more year chance. Let us do some more fertilizing. Today, you know, we are all living on borrowed time. From the time a baby is born, there is a clock that is running backwards. We are all coming to the end where our life will be gone. We are all fast racing to a day when we are going to leave the earth. We are living on borrowed time. God is giving us the time. I am pleading with you. Look at your life seriously. There is only one life to live. There is only one chance that God is giving us. I don't want us to waste our life with our own things. We are so much after our own things. I know we have to work. I know all that. But there is a time that we need to give God the time and we need to seek after His kingdom. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can we close our eyes for a moment? Can we look at ourselves and say, am I a healthy tree? Am I producing fruit for the Lord or am I being wasted away? Am I looking at just doing my own things and enjoying my own life? Just bothered about myself or am I being a blessing to other people? Am I seeking God's will in my life? Am I seeking the kingdom of God in my life? Am I allowing God to rule over me? Hallelujah. Am I being like a branch that is attached to the vine that is bearing fruit for the Lord? I want you to seriously think about it. Because God has given us not a long time. I'm telling you, many young people are passing away very suddenly. Last week also, I heard about a 21-year-old girl who passed away very suddenly. You know, let's not imagine that we will only grow old and then die. Many young people are dying. Each day that God is giving us is a chance to do something for the kingdom of God. Can we just close our eyes and make a decision? Lord, I want to be a blessing for, not only for your kingdom, I want to strive for you. You have called me with a purpose. God has a plan and a purpose for us. God has a great plan to use us in His hands, to reach people who do not know Christ. And I want us to imagine and turn ourselves to the hand of the Lord. Hallelujah. Can we just pray for a moment?